Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Extra Innings, covering all the bases. My name is Albert Dabba. I am a therapist, life coach, and filmmaker. On Extra Innings, we talk about many different issues that people face. Basically, mental wellness, mental illness, different problems, experiences people grow up with or deal with on their journeys in life, such as anxiety, depression, fun, laughter, everything that you can think of, suicide, things that are sometimes very troubling to talk about. We've had guests from many different aspects of life, in sports, business, artists, critics. So it's a program that we deal with real life issues. Extra Innings actually comes from a film I made called Extra Innings that is now on Amazon Prime. And I'm very proud of the film. It's based on a true story that I wrote, directed, and produced and acted in. And it's takes place during the 1960s. And on tonight's show, we have a very, very special guest. His name is Colin Sprake. He is from British Columbia. And I'd like to introduce him right now. Colin, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you, Albert. It's my pleasure to be with you.
So you're actually 3 hours back, so it's in the afternoon for you. Is that right?
It's beautiful afternoon here, blue skies and sun shining.
Okay, that's nice. Well, we have some nice weather here today, and I'm out of Jersey City. It's Colin, I'd like to ask you, I'll introduce you as someone who has done so many things in his life, from reading and talking to you, reading your bio and some of your history and talking to you a couple of times. I know you're the author of, I believe, 3 books. You deal with entrepreneurs and help them in their businesses. But what I read about it was really interesting is the way it has been written is that you work with them to help them flourish in their businesses. But you wrote something, or it was written, Flourishing with Heart, and helping people fulfill their potential, and also deal with the people that they work with, their staff, help their staff, and people in the community. And that struck me, because you know, that's something that sometimes you really don't read about or hear about. That it's someone who's out there to really help other people. And you've gone through your own ups and downs in life that tonight, in the short time we have, I'd love to know more about your journey. So maybe we'll just start with, where did you grow up and how was life growing up for you?
Yeah, well, so of course, this is not a Canadian accent in any way or form, just so the listeners not out there and the viewers. Is I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I came to Canada in 1998. And, you know, life was not easy for me in South Africa because, I went to school. I was one of those people, unfortunately, that had severe problems with my feet. So I had to walk with these special boots and what have you when I was, a young child. And, of course, I got bullied for that and ridiculed for that. And, I never stopped. I was one of the smallest kids in the class. I was under 5 foot tall when I was in grade 12, so I was like 4'8", 4'9" in grade 12. By the time I got to the end of grade 12, I nearly grew a foot, and wow. It was crazy. And, a little bit of a late bloomer, if you want to call it in that way, but, in terms of growth, but it really impacted me, Albert. It was, cause I was small, got picked on, got bullied, got ridiculed. And, it was a tough journey. I mean, that journey in South Africa that, I had, I grew up in a household that did not have a lot of money. My parents were not super wealthy. I grew up with pretty average life. But at the same time, my parents were just barely making ends meet themselves, and they were not always so supportive. I was like, I used to go to them and say, I have troubles, I have challenges. And, my most common thing my parents ever said to me was just suck it up. It'll, get over it. And then sadly enough, when I got to the age of 14, I attempted suicide twice, and it stunned my parents, but still there was not a whole ton of support. It was not, If you need counseling, we'll get you some counseling. If you need, you know, to go see a psychologist, we'll send you to a psychologist. What do you think you need? I'm like, what I'm really calling for is help. You know, I'm not asking, if I knew what I needed, I wouldn't be sitting in front of you having done something. So, you know, which I consider, and sad, you know, because I haven't been there. I don't think you commit suicide when you're sane. I think you have to be a temporary insanity to do what people attempt. And of course, having been there twice, it was eye opening for me. And you know, school was not my favorite place, Albert. It really wasn't. Because, you know, once I left school, I was a lot happier. I can tell you that.
Was it the bullying and did it just get to the point that it was too much for you, or like what? I'm just curious for other viewers out there who sometimes, you know, might be feeling the same kind of feelings that you experienced.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I mean, there's bullying in the workplace too. I mean, I don't think bullying is not dependent on age group. For me at that age, I honestly just got to, the more the bullying happened, the more I feared of going to school. Like, you know, it was, some of it was physical, some of it was extremely mental, and, you know, in terms of bullying. And I was in fear of going to school. I was like, I don't want to go to school. School's a terrible place. And my mom and dad were like, get your butt out of the door. You got to go to school. It is what it is. And eventually I was like, I felt like I was in a prison, you know, between my parents and society and the people at the school and the teachers and what have you. And the only way out that I thought was possible was with this feeling of, I don't belong, this feeling of, I'm not good enough, this feeling of, you know, no one's listening to me, no one cares. I thought the only way out was disappear from the planet, you know. And Albert, I am so blessed today that I didn't do that, because the number of lives that I've helped, you know, get through these kind of problems. I mean, I'm not a counselor, I'm a mentor in business, but I'm more of a conscious business mentor, where I really like to work with people and support them on their journey, where, you know, 99% of business is mental. It's not, you know, what you know and all these great strategies that you learn somewhere. It's all psychology, you know, and understanding how things work. So I was in that deep negative place and just felt that, you know, if I exited the planet, it would be a better thing for me to do. And like I say, thank God I didn't do that, because it would be probably impacted around 100,000 lives now.
Wow. So what happened after that? How did you recover from that at age 14?
You know, so I started searching. You know, I just started searching. There wasn't the internet or anything like that at that stage. You know, sort of gives me a little bit of my age. You know, it's like, you know, it was pre-internet and pre, you know, the only thing I could ever think of was like the Encyclopedia Britannica used to sit on the shelf in our living room, you know. So I started looking and searching, and I found a book, and it was called Power of the Mind or something like that. I can't even remember who the author was. It was a small little book, and I looked at this book and I was like, that's interesting. And then I was driving, you know, with my parents, and we were going somewhere, and I saw a billboard sign on the side of the road, and it said, there's a Mind Power seminar coming up that weekend. And I said to my mom, you know, I'd love to go. Now, my mom spent probably as long as I can remember, she was in counseling and with psychologists and therapists and what have you, you know, for depression and various things. So I said, Mom, I'd love to go to that. My dad thought it was just a waste of time. You know, he's like, just looked at me and said, what do you want to learn that stuff for? And that was the biggest challenge for me. But I went to that seminar because I was deeply searching. All I wanted to do was have someone listen to me, someone hear me out, someone, you know, care for me the way that I believe I should have been cared for. And I don't believe my parents cared for me the way that I wanted to be cared for. I think they did their best they could with what they had, but they didn't really understand parenting and this consciousness that we're in today. And I went to that seminar, and Albert, it was life-changing. You know, it was probably one of the founders, not quite say the founders, but definitely one of the people that made lots of impact in the world. He's not well known, but he's definitely done extremely well for himself, and that's John Kehoe. And he wrote the book Mind Power. I read the book from cover to cover. I read it multiple times that weekend and started to look for people that were on the same journey. And at the seminar, I met a number of people that were on that same journey, and none of them were bullies. None of them were ugly people. They were just people that were all searching and wanting to improve themselves. And those people started to become close friends. Those people started to be my circle of influence. And that's what I realized. It shifted my perception because of the people I was hanging out with.
I see. Wow. So when you, and how old were you then when you took that seminar?
When I was 14. So it was, you know, I was doing razor blades, which was crazy. I attempted to cut both my wrists and twice. So, you know, thank God I was not really accurate. And I don't think I really wanted to do it, to be honest. I was so busy crying and screaming for, you know, attention and love and what have you, that I thought that was the way I would get it. And I then later that year, I saw this and I said, I mean, it was just something deep inside of me that said, I have value. I have worth. God put me on this planet for a reason. It's for me to go out and serve humanity. And, you know, that started me that journey. And then so later that year, I went to that seminar and it was, like I say, life-changing. And more life-changing in the sense of, forget about the pieces I taught at the seminar. It was the people I got to hang out with. Mm-hmm. I got people that actually respected me, people that understood me, people that realized that we're all on a journey. Not all of them had been down some suicide trail, but you know, some of them had been through severe physical abuse or sexual assault or whatever. This is not a room full of people that all had challenges. But before, mm-hmm. you know, I think what I realized, I was not alone. You know, yeah. And that was the big part, you know, and it's like, I think in so many areas of our lives, we think we're alone. You know, I see it with business owners. Some of them think they're alone because their business sucks. I'm like, don't worry. Like there's 95% of the business owners out there suck, you know, so it's, you're not alone. And it's, I don't know where that comes from, but I think the reason why I'd attempted my own life was because I felt, you know, I was alone. And, you know, and then that seminar, I got to meet people that loved me for who I was, respected me for who I was and who I am today, which is so cool. And, you know, I still keep in touch with some of those people even to this day. And the irony of it all, I used to sit reading the book, Mind Power by John Kehoe. And one part it says, and this man went into a cabin in British Columbia to find the power of his mind. And guess where I live now? In British Columbia. I got to meet John Kehoe when I was in my early 40s. And now we do seminars together.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Isn't that a journey?
That really is. I mean, that, you know, from 14 years old to now to be able to connect and do seminars together. I mean, to me, that's like, you know, like full circle to be able to, you know, get on that road and get on that path. And, you know, it's because, you know, 14 is such a young age. And to be able to, I mean, I imagine it took a lot of strength to go there, you know, but you were also feeling that depth of loneliness, you know. So I'd love to get back to that. We have to take a break and we'll get back to talking with Colin Sprake in just a minute or so. Thank you.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hi, we're back with Colin Sprague. Colin, when you took, at age 14, you took the seminar, the first thing that came to my mind, were there other people your age at the seminar?
Very few of them. So maybe a couple of 16, 18-year-olds, what have you. And that was a big thing for me. And I started to realize, Albert, after that seminar, that majority of my friends were always older than me. You know, and I think because maybe they understood me, what have you. Even when I was in my 30s, most of my friends were in their 40s. You know, even as a 50-year-old now, I've got most of my friends are in their 60s. You know, it's just, it's, I think it's been part, I don't know, maybe it's just part of my DNA now that all of a sudden it happened because of that event. But it's definitely has been a big part of my journey of having people older, because I like to hang out with people that make me wise, that are wiser than I am.
Yeah. So, did you, you were living in South Africa at the time, correct?
Is correct, that right?
Yep. Okay. So, what happened from then on, and when did you move to British Columbia? Was that much later? And between the time when you were 14 till the time you moved, how did things change for you?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the things changed, of course, dramatically. And that's why I sit here today is, you know, so I was 14. I went to study university, did what my parents told me to do, go get a degree, get highly educated, blah, 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 the whole story. And, you know, got my metallurgical engineering degree and then eventually got an MBA as well. And really just found myself that's not what my path was. I came to Canada in 98. So, 28 years old when I came to Canada. And that was, you know, the start of a really interesting time for me, because I was 28 years old and I was thinking, what does the world hold for me? And I joined a company that brought me across from South Africa because of my qualifications. And I was very super proud at the time, but I wasn't super happy, you know. And I came over and eventually within 2.5 years, I took over the company, became CEO. And I'll never forget our chairman of our board. He said to me the one day, he said, Colin, welcome to the top. It's lonely and you'll probably hate it. And, you know, I eventually left the company and, you know, it was a multinational company. We had 35 offices globally. It was fantastic, Albert, but I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't happy. And I felt like I was back when I was 14, you know, and there were some dark days for me, you know, at one stage too, where I was like, what, you know, I still ask myself to this day, what's the meaning of life? You know, it's still a fascinating topic for me. It's like, what are we designed to do as human beings on this planet? So I eventually left in 2004 and I just started my own business consulting practice, you know, and I got trained by some of the top trainers in the world and it was all fancy and it was great and blah, blah, blah. Same thing. I wasn't fulfilled. And then I started to really get into my heart. And that's why I'm probably one of the few people that teaches business where you should love your customers. Your customers should love you. You should love your vendors. You should, you know, it's all about building relationships. It's not just about getting someone to give you money, you know, and I started building, I call myself a consciousness business mentor, because I want people to see things differently. You know, I work with not just the entrepreneur themselves. I often work with their spouse and their children, because I want people to see that the world can change. I do lots of work with children too, Albert. It's one of my favorite topics because, of course, my heart is drawn towards there's children out there that I hear the saddest stories from adults. Of course, most of it happened to them before the age of 10. And I'm like, now I'm back out there going, how do I get to those people children before the age of 10 so I can support them? So I do lots of work with communities, schools, what have you, really serving the children so the children get a different perception.
Wow, that's amazing. What got you into the, I mean, how do you go, my question is how do you go from working with these business people and their families? That seems so unusual, particularly, you're talking about working with their children or other children. So, you normally hear that from a therapist, but you don't normally hear that from someone who's teaching people on their business. And also, the consciousness business, it sounds wonderful, because I having my own business for many years, a video production company, I always felt that I prided myself on, serving my clients and, them feeling good when they left, mm-hmm. whatever we, did for them. We at one point had a lot of celebrities come in when we used to do a lot of auditioning and casting. And we were very fortunate because there were places that were much bigger than ours, but we had this niche where somehow we got into the celebrity market and they felt safe at our place because they weren't, it wasn't a really big place and they weren't hounded by questions with people. And I learned so much that way about success by watching them in the casting room and seeing, their professionalism. But I'm curious how did you get to the families and children of the people you're working with?
Wow, what a great question. So the big piece for me would be, I started doing events and they were business events and they were fantastic. Sales and marketing, all the typical business pieces. And then one day I'm like, something's missing. So I started getting into deep personal growth work. And, after that I went and got, I went and got all the education or what have you to really understand this stuff. Of course, I'm not a psychologist, counselor, or anything like that. But I started to get into that. And Albert, what fascinated me is how many of these parents, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds would come to my events and I'd hear their stories, because we have a whole process of understanding people's stories. And I call it group counseling, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I started to hear their stories and I was horrified. I was like, people, what's happening to our world? People there's families having children and these children are abused and it was nonstop. It actually made me deeply sad to the core of my being. I was like, why is all this negativity happening to our children? So I said, well, 99% of running a successful business is if you're a family, and that's what I really coach. I coach husband and wife owned businesses where they own the business together. That's my primary market. And of course, yes, for sure, we do LGBTQ as well. But the key piece for me is that I started to see that if the family unit wasn't working at home, like a husband and wife weren't working at home, or husband and wife and the children weren't working at home, well, then the business has a real challenge to be successful. So I said to myself, let me help build out this most amazing process where I can not just work on the business and get the husband and wife getting the business to that next level, but also help, get them at home on the same level in their relationship and everything else. And a big part of my training has always been now is people call it mindset training. I call it heart set training. Well, you get ready into your heart around what's working. And I bring, some people say to me, Colin, my business doesn't grow very much, but man, my marriage is fantastic. And I'm like, that's what I want for people. So I think I've been married 24 years. And it feels like I got married a week ago. It's so amazing, the marriage that I have with my wife. It's super awesome. And we work at it. And I have an amazing relationship with my 19-year-old and 70-year-old daughters. But, I realized, Albert, the reason why I got onto stage to go and serve people, what was I not as a child? I was not seen. I was not heard. I was not respected. No one gave me gratitude. All that stuff that led me to the suicide, you know, all that emotional craving I had. Now I'm fulfilling that emotional craving through my business. And I can tell you, I've worked with thousands of business owners and I've done all the research on this. Majority of business owners, majority, not all of them, but majority have a certain emotional craving from their childhood that they now fulfill that emotional craving through the business or career they're in. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be in business. It could be a career you're in. You know, let me give you an example of this if we've got time. Have we got a minute?
Sure, yeah, yeah, go ahead.
So a good example of this is you hire this front desk person, maybe a receptionist for your office, whatever, most gregarious, happy, enjoyable, you know, person that loves life. And, you know, everyone raves about this front desk person, like couriers rave about them. And you're like, this person's so good. I'm going to promote them and put them into another area of the company. And you give them a higher salary and do everything. That person probably wasn't acknowledged as a child, probably wasn't seen, maybe not heard. Guess what that front desk allows them to be? Everything they craved as a child, you know? And all of a sudden, you put them in another place in your company, and 3 months later, even at a bigger salary, they leave. And you're like, what happened? You ripped their soul out of their body because part of their childhood is what we take. We all heard we have this inner child. You know, I think an inner child is way bigger than what people think. You know, it creates all our behavior, all that kind of stuff. You're the counselor, so you might know more than me. But I can tell you, I've watched this house. I've seen tens of thousands of adults shift, you know, and those adults shift when they realize their story is controlling them.
Yeah, no, what you're saying all makes sense to me. But it's great for people out there to hear that. But it's great for me to hear that as well, because it just, you know, it kind of, I hear it and I think, yeah, that's true. That's true. It makes total sense. You know, I grew up feeling very lonely in my house. I mean, I did have good friends. I didn't have the same kind of childhood as you, but there was this loneliness and knowing that I had a sick brother. And then later I realized that my daughter, my sister was also having problems. And, you know, I wasn't talking about it. And it bothered me. And I had to learn, you know, when my brother died, I had to open up and talk about it and learn about it. And for me, doing the film and writing it and taking out, when we come back, I'll tell you about some of these things that I did to get to a point where I am now. But I get what you're talking about. And I think it's wonderful that you can share that within, you know, that is part of your business besides, you know, helping people grow their profits and all that. But, you know, working from your heart, I think is just wonderful. But anyway, We'll be back in a minute with Colin and talk more about his journey in his life. And stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Mm-hmm. Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
We're back with Colin Sprague. We've been talking about his journey in his life. Colin, before we got on the air, you said something to me that hit me. You said you're an open book. And it's funny because I have been married for 25 years, but divorced now for about 4 years. I have three beautiful kids I'm very close to. And I'm friendly with my ex-wife. But recently, over the past 9 months, I have a new girlfriend. And it's like, you said something before, besides you said, you know, you're like an open book about with your relationship with your wife, that it's like, I think you said it's as if you just met her, I believe, something like that. And my relationship with this new woman, her name is Lizzie, is just like that. It's like every time I see her, it's like, wow. And then I know it's, you know, still under a year, but she said, you're an open book. And I meditate maybe a few times a week. And every time after I meditate for maybe 10, 15 minutes, I come out with these things and I write her a little poem or something sweet about her, about what I feel about her. And I took this amazing workshop, and there were very few guys in it. I've taken four of them with this woman who has been on this show. Her name is Nancy Arony, and she has she goes to all these yoga retreats and places, and she does a seminar called Jumpstart Your Memoir Writing from the Heart. And her thing is, you really can't teach writing. It has to just come out of you, and letting yourself be open to the feelings that you have inside. And I think that's what you're talking about here. Maybe, you know, tell me what you think about that, because I really feel like you work from your heart.
Oh my goodness. You know, it's probably one of my favorite topics in the world, Albert, because I look at everything in a very different way. You know, I like, you know, let me go back one step to when I met my wife. So when I met my wife, I used to travel 8 weeks to Europe. I was still living in South Africa. I was in my mid-20s. And I'd travel to Europe, and then I'd come home from Europe. I'd be gone 8 weeks, come back for 2 weeks. So I had this lady that was would rent a room from me in my home, just so that the home was at least safe and there was someone there while I was gone. And my wife, you know, current wife, you know, at the time was visiting this housemate of mine. I came back from 8 weeks away. I walked in, and within 10 minutes, I said, I'm going to marry you. And that's how much of a soul connection. I hadn't even met her. You know, she was sitting on the couch visiting with this housemate of mine. And, you know, from there, it took a lot of work, I can tell you. I think my sales training comes from convincing my wife to marry me. So where I want to go with that is, you know, one of the things we love to do together is respect each other for who we are, but also understand that we need to grow. And that we all grow at our own pace, you know. And a lot of spouses that are out there, you know, don't even know who they're married to, Albert. You know, like you know, and I hope your audience doesn't mind me saying this. I think we all fall in lust, and then we get married and we attempt to fall in love. And they are two very different things, you know. And when the lust disappears, love is a very deep topic. And love means acceptance. Love means not wanting to change a person. So, you know, my wife has accepted me for who I am, which is so beautiful. But at the same time, you know, there was quirky things that I would do, and she'd be like, "Why do you behave that way? Why do you get, you know, I ask you to ask you a question and you bite my head off?" And I'm like, because she was, you know, I didn't know. And I went on a search to figure this stuff out. And then we figured it out. And if anything for your listeners today, and anyone maybe, you know, listening or viewing later, is to think about, who am I married to? Because it's deep. You're married to a child, a deep inner child that, you know, you say something to your spouse, they behave a certain way, or they flip out, or they run away and go into flight or fright or whatever. And you're like, why do they behave that way? Have you ever figured out who you're married to? So when you ask me, how do I really know what the journey I am with my, how do I know how that journey's been, is it's been a great journey because I'm just transparent. I'm like, hun, things aren't working for me right now. You know, like, you know, there's certain things that aren't working. We sit and we chat about it. And that's become a big part of my life's journey, because after going through the, you know, the suicide and the attempted suicide twice, it was really, I said to myself, the only way I'm going to get through this is to be open, to talk about it. And, you know, I've been that way in all my relationships. Like, you know, when I've been on the phone with you, met you for the first time, you know, on our first phone call together and got chatting, I'm like, I'll tell you anything you want to tell me. Ask me whatever you want. You know, I don't have to hide anything. It's not, you know, I live by the two easiest philosophies in life. Number one, tell the truth all the time, because you don't have to remember what you said. Mm-hmm. And number two is you don't have to take back the unspoken word. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, sometimes we say stuff and we wish we had never said it. And of course, this has been growth over the years for me. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, when you just said what you said about it, you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. I mean, I find myself sometimes, you know, one of my problems lately is I tell people some things and like my girlfriend said, you just tell me that already. I go, okay, well, you know, maybe I need to think about what I told you. But as many times I say, I think I told you this before, but I'll tell you again. Maybe I didn't say it or maybe I did. But I think the word also that you said is transparency. When you can be transparent, and you can talk to people about who you are and what you are and what you expect, and then also what the other person expects, and realize that you grow it, like you said, that, you know, that's the inner child. There's an inner child of everyone, and everyone grows at a different pace. We had a little argument, our first one, about 3 weeks ago. And I tell you, it made such a difference in getting to know her and her getting to know me. I felt like everything just grew that much more by kind of being open and real and sitting back and understanding and thinking about it. Yeah, you know, people have different ways of a different pace. We all have our own pace of how we grow. And, mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, getting back to that thing of being alone, you know, one of the things I said yesterday to her, like, you know, while I was living alone and not seeing anybody, sometimes it would be Mother's Day or whatever, or a holiday. And I'd write maybe to 75, 100 people, you know, text them, you know, happy, you know, some of my friends, I would write to their wives, happy Mother's Day. And, you know, she goes, wow, you must have been really lonely. I said, well, I guess to a certain extent, but I also felt good about it. I felt like this, you know, I wanted to reach out to people. I had the time. I didn't have anyone else to, you know, that I had to deal with one-on-one. And I find that, you know, saying nice things to people makes a difference. You know, and, you know, obviously if it comes from your heart, I mean, just to say it, no, but if it really comes from your heart and you can express yourself, because, you know, I think we all feel at times we're alone when we're with a certain problem, whatever it is, and we need other people. We're social animals. We're social creatures.
Completely, Albert. And just think about it. You know, I love what you said there, where it's, you know, we all need to, you know, express ourselves. We all need to be heard. And, you know, sometimes the simple things in the words we say, when you go to the store and you're at the cash register and you're making that, you're making that purchase, you know, because you think that person on the other side is maybe lower than you or whatever, you know, they're just another human being. And you can say one thing that can push that person over the edge. You never, ever know what happened to them. Just because you're having a bad day or you're having a bad moment and they became your punching bag, you know, no, they didn't cause anything in your life. You know, I'm a big fan of any person you get to be with, whether I'm with you, Albert, or any of the listeners to the show, is treat people like royalty. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're the person picking up the garbage or, you know, the president of a country. No one deserves better service or better treatment. Everyone deserves to be treated and be respected. Because you can say one thing to somebody that can either raise them up or completely mess them up. And you don't know how they received what you just said to them. You know, and I say that to all your listeners. They think about this. You know, you might have a family member that's on the edge. You know, and you don't even know they're on the edge. And you just say something in passing that is derogatory, rude, ugly, whatever. And that could be the final straw that breaks that camel's back. So just be aware, listeners out there. You know, be aware of your words are powerful, immensely powerful, because they only land on the mind of the person, you know, receiving and perceiving those words.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. You have no idea where that person's at. I heard a story, and it was one of, I'm trying to remember where it came from. It was one of these seminars I took, and I think it was a well-known speaker, but he told a story about he was on a train one morning, and father was evidently with his kid, and his kid was acting out and, you know, yelling and screaming. And finally, the man across from him said to the father, he said, "What, can't you control your kid?" Something like that. He screamed at him. I mean, "Your kid's making this big noise." And the father looked at him and he said, "We just lost his mother." And it really hit me, like, you don't know where a person's coming from when you see, you know, some outlandish behavior or something. Obviously, you know, you maybe, you know, the man got annoyed, but you don't know what that kid's going through at that time. So we really, I think, need to be careful, like you're saying, with our words, and think about the other person. Think about, even if you don't know them, you don't lose by anything by being nice. You only have stuff to gain. So I think using that in any business sense, any relationship sense, I used to be nervous about meeting, meeting new people, what it was like, you know, how much do you share? And then I realized, you know, as I keep growing, I keep realizing more and more, you have nothing to lose by sharing something from your heart. If you open up too much, so what? You know, what do you lose? So, yeah. So anyway, we'll come back in a little while. I'd love to ask you when we get back more about your books that you've written, because I think, you know, writing a book takes a lot of work, and I'd love to hear more about that. So, we'll be right back with Colin Sprague in just a minute. Thank you. Stand by.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, we're back with Colin. So we left off, Colin. I wanted to ask you about, I think you said you wrote three books. Is that right?
I've written four.
Four books. Okay. How did you get into writing? I'm curious about that.
It's a funny story. You know, Alba, when I first started out in the whole seminar world and doing events, someone said to me, you need to have a book before you go and launch your seminars because it'll be really important for you. And I'm like, I believe people buy you, they don't buy your book. So I decided to launch the seminars anyways. And eventually people said to me, please, please go write a book. So eventually only after doing events for over 8 years did I finally get into writing the book. I can tell you I'll never do it the same way again. It took me 400 hours of writing to write the book. It was a journey. It was a very big journey. And I'm busy with my fifth book right now called Systematizing the Human Brain, which is a fascinating read, or will be a fascinating read. And, you know, I just wanted to share more. I wanted to have people be able to take the knowledge that I have. And honestly, I wanted to be the first person in my family to become a published author. And, you know, I was very fortunate. I got an upfront fee and everything else, my first book from a New York publisher, which was super cool. And then my wife wrote her book as well on supporting an entrepreneur. So we're one of the only couples I know that are both husband and wife are both best-selling authors, which is pretty cool too.
Wow, that's amazing. That really is. Writing the book, did you find it very tough in the beginning, like to sit alone, I imagine, or maybe did you write with your wife at times or?
No. So I wrote my book in 2012 and my wife wrote hers in 2016. So mm-hmm. It was years apart. I wrote all by myself, spent hours and hours. I will never do it that way again. And I met someone out in Tampa Bay and she does this thing called Book on the Beach. And I got on stage, and this is, you'll be laughing about this. I got on stage in 2015 with my wife. And I said, all of you that register for our next event a year from now, come back to our big event that we do once a year. I said, when you come back to our big event next year, you'll have a copy of my wife's book. And she was like, I'm writing a book. I'm like, and so she'd been taking notes and recording things for years. And I said, honey, it's going to take some action here. But I had a plan. So then she flew down to Tampa. They did Book on the Beach. It took her 4 days. They transcribed the entire book. She just got interviewed, pulled all the pieces of knowledge out of her. And it was a fantastic experience for her. I think her book's fantastic. Yeah, it's only the only book out there written for the support functions to an entrepreneur, like the spouse, the employees, what have you. Every other book's written for entrepreneurs, not written for the team or for majority of the time, especially by a spouse.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, that must be so fulfilling to, also see within your wife something that you're doing as well, supporting these people that from the seminars and also writing the books. I'll never forget when I was working on my screenplay. I mean, it literally took me because I was running a business at the time and I on a video production business. And it took me about 10, 12 years to really, I wrote 12 drafts of the screenplay. And at first I was looking for someone to write it. And then I had an outline, and a big Hollywood producer read my outline. And he said, "This could be great. It could be terrible. You just got to write it." That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And I held that in my hand, that note. And, you know, I thought about who he was, and his name is Gary Goldberg. He's deceased by now, but he's done a lot of wonderful film.
I actually know Gary.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, so I started writing it, and I realized that, you know, and I was sharing with people, and I'll never forget when I finally came to the end. I was on the beach, and actually in Florida, and I wrote the end on. I was writing on an iPad, and because I had done some acting, and I'd been in theater, I wrote the end, and I saw all the actors in the screenplay in the movie. But this is just on my iPad. I saw everyone take a bow, and I heard this clapping, and you know, here I am looking at the ocean and getting this image of that happening. And I was like, wow, it was such a cathartic feeling I had at that time. So I know what it's like to be able to, you know, take something and put it down in words. The only difference here is then making a film of it. Mm-hmm. But whatever you do, whatever artistic thing you do, can be expressed in so many different ways, which I think is, you know, the wonderful thing about life. We have a lot of different ways we can express our feelings. And it's very evident to me that, you know, you doing all these seminars get a lot out of it.
For sure. I mean, and of course, sadly now, for the last 14 months, we've got nothing out of it, you know, in terms of not holding events anymore, which is a little bit crazy. But, you know, it's been good, though. I mean, it's even this last 12 months, Albert, I mean, I went through a soul search. Yeah, I went through a soul search saying, what do I want to do? Do you want to go back to being on the road? I was on planes 3 or 4 days a week easily. Flying all over the place in North America. And I was, when he stopped, I've been on a plane once in 12 months right now, or 13 months. And wow. Yeah, I used to be on a plane. I used to do up to 200 to 300 flights a year, you know.
Wow.
And yeah, a lot of flying. And when that all came to an end, I was like, wow. And I sat down in July, August last year, and I'm like, what do I want? And I think that's because that's a lot of times a lot of us don't get clear on that. And we feel entrapped. I call it the prison. We get into this prison of monotony of doing something we really don't want to be doing, but we don't think there's a way out. COVID gave me a way out in so many ways to what I was doing. And, you know, I honestly stared at my navel just about or out into the ocean and for nearly 6 weeks attempting to figure out what I wanted. You know, July, August last year. And then when I got clear on that, it became so freeing, so amazing for me that all of a sudden I was like, I'm on a different journey. I'm on a different journey to now. I probably will never go back to doing, I'll do our one big event a year because I want to keep on helping people that way. But some of the other smaller events, I probably won't do.
Have you come up with another something new that you want to do?
So I've got a completely different business model now. And I'm launching some other products, some other services that I have that I've been doing for a while. Plus, I've helped so many business owners grow, Albert. Like when I say grow, I've met them and they're doing $50,000, $100,000 a year. And suddenly they're now, 5, 8 years later, doing $10, $12 million. You know, and I got paid a small fee to do that to help them. And now I find the clients that want to be partners with me, ownership with me, and I do it completely different. It's like sometimes I'll take a small fee and partner with them. Sometimes I'll take no fee and partner with them. It just depends where things are at. And now fees my soul because I'm helping all these business owners grow, but I have a piece of the action long term. And it's a fun thing. We have fun together. And they don't just get me for the time that they have me as a mentor. They get me permanently for the length of the entire the duration of their business. So it's fun. It's like I love what I do. I love the fun that I have every day now, and it continues to grow, you know, just by serving humanity. You know, and all the stuff I'm busy launching coming up is all about serving humanity.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific, Colin. I think I didn't know what to expect. I feel like we can go on for another hour easily. I see that you're a man that, you know, just using the terms you use about helping humanity, I think there's a lot of need for that in this crazy world, and a lot of, you know, nutty things that go on. And I think, you know, I just saw a note somewhere today where it said, be kind. And I said, you know, that's a nice thing to say, you know, just be kind to people. You know, treat people like you'd like to be treated. It's nothing that people haven't heard before. But I think, you know, treating humanity like you'd want to be treated, I find that is just really important. So I'd like to end by just, you know, wishing you the best going forward, and hopefully maybe we'll meet one day somewhere.
Absolutely.
And, continue on your success. And I'd like to let everyone know, if you haven't seen Extra Innings, please check it out on Amazon Prime. And we'll see you again next week. And Colin, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been really fun. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting.
So it'd be just a great opportunity for people to understand what's the source of the information.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This channel features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.